Turning for a few moments to the Word of God, and we're turning to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and to verses 4 and 5. John chapter 1, and verses 4 and 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This morning we are thinking about this great truth, that the light has come. The light has come. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been somewhere that is really dark. Perhaps you've been on holiday in the countryside where there's little light pollution and it's so dark. There's no street lights, no glow of the town. It is just this darkness that you can hardly see your hand in front of your face. And then just imagine that you turn on a light and suddenly the darkness dispels. And the light is almost dazzling because it's so bright, and you discover where you are and what is going on. I remember, well, it was over 8 years ago that we were in our house in Stedham in Midhurst. Before Felicity was born, Margaret was pregnant, and we were decorating her bedroom, making it ready for when she came. And we were doing this quite late at night. That was before children, when we perhaps had more strength and energy. And we were doing things about 10 o'clock at night. And we had the lights on. Everything was going well. We were making good progress. And then suddenly we had a power cut. It wasn't unusual in those parts, but we had a power cut. And you know what it's like when you do your decorating? You have your bits and pieces out. You have your dust covers out. You have your paint and your paintbrushes and your rollers and things like that. Well, we were in the midst of this room, and then suddenly the lights go out. We can't see a thing. Midhurst is very rural, and there was nothing we could see. And so we have to try and navigate outside of the room, ensuring that we're not touching the walls. And I think there was this handprint on the wall as one or other of us made our way out the room to try and find some torches. But it was so dark, you couldn't see anything. We couldn't see any obstacles. We couldn't see what we were doing. And so there is this darkness that we have. Now, darkness is very unnerving. Many children will say they don't like the dark. They get anxious in the dark. And I'm not sure it's just children that think like that either. Darkness can be also very dangerous. We may not see dangers lurking in front of us. And we might find ourselves a danger to others. Perhaps walking along a street. If you're walking along a country road in the dark and you have a dark jacket on, then drivers may not see you until it's too late. Now, we're very used to physical darkness. But that is not what we're thinking about here this morning. We're not thinking, as it were, about the lights being switched off. We are thinking about spiritual darkness and spiritual light. And when we think about this darkness, it is vital that we have light in order to see where we are going. And when we think about this world, it is a dark place. Sin is a darkness to us, and we need the light to come and to shine in our hearts. And here in John's Gospel, we have this wonderful truth. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Or in another place, this time 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is said there to be light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so you have this constant contrast in the scriptures of light and dark, God and this world, and God is light and this world and sin is darkness. We find that in John here it speaks about how men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And darkness is something that men and women, they like to have, spiritual darkness, to conceal their wickedness and their evil. When you think about some crimes that are committed, they are done under the cover of dark, so that they cannot be seen nor detected. And we see here that light has come. Not just a light from a light bulb or light from the sun, but light himself has come. This light is speaking about a person which has arrived and has come into this darkness. Now, picking up on that point about the fact that this world is likened to darkness, and sin is likened to darkness, one of the first references that we have to darkness being a consequence of sin is found in Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 22. And there you have the plague of darkness that was brought upon the children of Egypt, the Egyptians, because of their sin. And we find that it's not just the absence of light, but it's almost a covering. It's almost something so strong and so thick that it couldn't almost be felt and touched. When you come to the book of Proverbs, you have another reference to darkness and linking it to the way of the wicked. In Proverbs 4, verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. And then when you come to the New Testament, you find this darkness again. Think about the activities upon the cross. The Lord Jesus has been nailed to that cross at Calvary. And then from midday till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was that darkness that came over the whole earth. And whilst that darkness was over the whole earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering the wrath of God on account of our sin. Darkness is also referred to in Jude, the book of Jude, in verse 6, as a darkness, as a consequence for sin. And in particular, it's speaking about there the sin of the angels and the rebellion of the angels being cast out into that outer darkness. Again, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus will speak about the righteous and the unrighteous, the righteous coming into the abode of their Father, but the wicked and the sinful being cast out. Not just to darkness, but to that outer darkness. And we find that the world not only is dark, but it's blinded by sin that has resulted in this darkness. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And so when we think about this world being dark spiritually, we can see it. The light of God's word is largely ignored. We read from Psalm 119, and what do we read there? We read there in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God is a light, if you like, but largely the word of God has been rejected. And if God's word is rejected, God's truth is put to one side, then what is going to happen? There's going to be darkness continuing. And this world is dark. And in John 3, verse 19, as I've already quoted, men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. And so there's this darkness because of sin, and there's this darkness because people love their sin. And we often refer to these days in which we live as being dark days. There's spiritual ignorance. There's spiritual apathy to the things of God. There's no interest in the ways of salvation, no interest in the things of God, and the world is depraved and wallowing in its dark days. People get very upset if the truth of God, like a light, is shining. So when we go down to the open air, people don't like to hear the truth, because it reveals and opens up and it shows to them quite where they stand before God. And that is what we were all like. It's not that we have natural light, that we were born and we have great understanding we have great abilities and we knew this light, there was a time when that light must shine in our hearts in order to see and to discover these things. We're no different from the people round about. And so we are reminded here that this light of men has come. This light has shined in the darkness. And what great and wonderful news this is. There is light to dispel the thick darkness that is all around. There is light to show us the way. If you think about the Psalms in Psalm 43, we're reminded there concerning the light of God and being drawn to the presence of God. And the psalmist there speaks these words. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And so if we are to know God, if we are to be right with God, then we need the light of God to lead us into his dwelling places. And we have here the light being come, the incarnate Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that shows the way. He is the one that makes all things plain. And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ being light, we find that he is light at all times. At all times, he is light. We could think about the time of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There was a point in our world's history when the world was not, when the earth was not, and yet God is, or God was. And the Lord Jesus Christ was there with the Father. And we find that this earth requires the intervention of God to bring it to completion and to bring it to come forth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The world has a beginning. Before it, there was nothing. It was void. And we find God spoke and it came forth. But there is that darkness. But what do we find there? God said in verse 3 of Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. The God of light declared that light should come and light burst forth. Now that is interesting to note that there is no sun, no moon, no stars. This must be the light of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have already alluded to, he was there with the Father. Verse 3 of John 1, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Or in Colossians, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Or to think about what 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6 says, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. And so the world has its beginning, and the light of Christ is shining forth in a physical sense in that place, but nevertheless it comes forth. And we find that light is there. Now we can think about the Old Testament, and there are allusions to the light of Christ shining. You have the Shekinah glory, the glory of God coming down and resting upon the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle of the Most High. You can think about the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel through their wanderings in the wilderness. And we can think about the light being there coming through the scriptures. But perhaps another reason we can see, or another aspect to Christ that we can see, the light coming, is in his cradle. Even just before the cradle, we find that in Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist is in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the womb of his mother Mary. And when Elizabeth hears that Mary is pregnant, that she is carrying the Christ, the babe that was inside her womb leapt with joy. In the darkness of that womb, John was able to perceive that there was light. The light of the world had come. The Messiah was on his way. We thought in the previous Lord's days about the incarnation, and we thought about the heavenly announcement to the shepherds. It comes with a dazzling light and glory. Those shepherds tending their flock in the darkness of those Judean hills are suddenly confronted with the brilliance of the angel and then magnified by the whole heavenly host. The light has come. The light was in that cradle. The Lord had arrived. And for those shepherds, it was like midday at midnight. And there was that wonderful display of glory because the light itself had come. How were the visitors from the east told about the coming Messiah? We have seen his star in the east. That light erected by God to pinpoint and illuminate upon the place of the birth of the Son of God, that heavenly light guided those wise men to the place where Jesus lay. And so the Lord had come. In Isaiah 9 verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. In the cradle at Bethlehem, there is the light of God. That light that is from everlasting is now manifest in the flesh. We could think about the clouds of Gethsemane and the light shining forth. And what were the clouds of Gethsemane? It's thinking about the sufferings of Christ. And when do those sufferings begin? Well, it begins very much at his cradle. But certainly throughout his earthly ministry, he would say to people that he was the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We could think about how he came to preach the kingdom of God, calling men and women to follow him. He is the one that has the words of eternal life. He shines the light of his truth against the error of the sin of the day. He shines that light upon the tyranny of those bound by Satan in sin, bringing deliverance. He shines his light, exposing the self-righteous hypocrisy of the Pharisees and contrasting it with the brilliant glory of God, that true light of God. And so there, throughout the earthly ministry, we see the light of Christ shining forth, bringing light where there is darkness, light in the gloom, as it were. And there, even at Gethsemane, you see the suffering of Christ. And there he is ministered to by an angel. There is light in the darkness. We could think about Calvary. Oh, what a dark, dark place Calvary was. With all the sin that was taking place. The injustice on one level, by putting to death an innocent man. All despite all of the trials and the examinations and the declaration that this was a man who has done nothing amiss. Yet there is that travesty taking place. Darkness pervading. But then when you think that this is the Lord of glory, the Lord of light, hanging upon that tree. Oh, how dark that men and women with their sin have enabled this and pushed for this and would cry out, away with him, crucify him. We want nothing to do with him. What darkness is there? And then when he suffers, there's that darkness sent by God. There's a darkness over the whole earth. There is a suffering Son of God, enduring, and in the midst of this darkness, But even in that darkness, there's light. There's light. What does the Lord Jesus say to those that actually crucify him? He says to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about those thieves on the cross. Oh, they were joining in with all of the wickedness that was there. They were guilty for the crimes that they had committed. But one of them turns to the Lord and says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And there is that promise of light. Oh, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In paradise. Think about the Lord Jesus with his mother. And John, behold, mother, behold thy son. And thy son, behold thy mother. Oh, concern and compassion. Light is there despite the darkness that is all around. And then at the very end, the centurion, after the death of Christ is announced and proved, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was a righteous man. Calvary, with all the darkness that was there, there is a light of Christ. I was thinking about some of these different areas and putting it all with the letter C, and so you can think about the tomb. I thought, well, what could you have for tomb? Well, think about crypt, the grave, the crypt, where the Lord was laid, the darkness there. And yet on that third day, the light bursts forth. Christ arises. And so there he is, raised from the dead. John would say, we beheld his glory. We beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was John's declaration. That's why he writes his words, that we might know him, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is light in the grave. We can think about that angelic announcement. Glory radiating because of him, that he is not dead but is risen. And then there is that ascension to heaven. And the angels declare that he is going to return in like fashion as you have seen him go. The Lord Jesus Christ is said to be with his church. He has promised that. I am with you always, even to the very end of the world. And in Revelation chapter 1, you have there the wonderful description of him walking amongst his candlestick. His church, his blood-bought people are described as being a candlestick. What does a candlestick do? It brings light. What is a church to do? It is to radiate the light of Christ to this world. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, we're reminded how that the Lord's people, ye are the light of the world. And so as we think about the gospel that has been entrusted to us, the gospel that we are commanded to preach to every creature, the gospel that we're to could take out to the ends of the earth, it is like that light going forth into this world. And when we think about our own individual experience, we think about our time when we were in darkness. We went about our sin. We thought nothing of God. We hated the light of God. We wanted nothing to do with God. But then his light came. We saw our sin. We saw our need. And we beheld him. And we submitted to him. We came to him. We could think about the glory of heaven. What awaits the ransomed people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about that? Is there light mentioned there? Well, of course there is. One of the things that we noticed from Revelation 21 and 22 is in the new heaven and the new earth, there is going to be no sun. We like the sun. We're enjoying today that it's a sunny day. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there is no need for the sun. Is it going to be dark, dingy? No, because we have something far superior, far greater, the light of Christ, the light of God. Glory radiating from him. And we'll be basking in that light, not just for a period of time, not just for a day or so, but for eternity. The light of Christ. The light has come. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Despite this brilliance of light, that light has come into this world, naturally speaking, men and women, boys and girls, do not comprehend this light. And when we think about this, and as we consider it, it requires us to consider our response to this light, our response to Christ, that he has come, he has done everything in order to save sinners. What is our response to him this morning? Are we like those that it's described there? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Or he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Is that how we are? That's what we're like naturally, but is that how we are now? But there in verse 12 of John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Two lots of people described there. Those who reject, those that did not receive him, those that did not want him or desire to know him, and yet there are those that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even that to them that believe on his name. The light has come. The light has been revealed, as it were. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. How is it that we respond this morning? Are we those that believe on his name? And thinking about an application for the Lord's people, we are described as being the light of the world. Are we really? Do we really radiate light to the world? We may have light, but we conceal it. We hide it, as it were, under a bushel. We, as it were, cover it up so that people can't see that light. It may be that that light is concealed because of our sin, our compromise in our lives, our poor witness to the world round about. Well, may the light of Christ shine in our hearts, but also shine out to the people round about, and may they see the wonder of Christ and the work of Christ that has been wrought in our hearts. Well, may the Lord help us and apply his word, and may we rejoice that this light has come.